Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. As the war to liberate Kuwait ends its first week, Allied air raids continue to pound Iraqi targets. More than 12,000 missions have been flown, half of them combat sorties, half support flights. Baghdad claims U.S. bombs have hit a baby formula factory, but according to Desert Storm spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Mike Gallagher, U.S. intelligence sees nothing so benign at the site.
Apparently this facility, by what we've just learned, has military guards around it, barbed wire fence. It has a military garrison outside, and numerous sources have indicated that the facility is associated with biological warfare production.
This morning's news briefing in Riyadh also provided the first word of U.S.-Iraqi combat inside Saudi Arabia. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Mike Scott.
Yesterday evening, soldiers from the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment, located at an observation point near the Saudi Arabian-Iraqi border, encountered an Iraqi patrol and returned small arms fire. The skirmish resulted in 2 U.S. soldiers being slightly injured. They were treated and returned to duty. Additionally, 6 Iraqi soldiers were taken prisoner and have been evacuated to a collection point in the rear.
U.S. spokesman denied a report by Iran's news agency that Iraqi forces have staged a ground attack into Saudi Arabia and taken some allied prisoners. Also today, U.S. forces attacked a civilian Iraqi tanker in the Gulf. BBC correspondent Michael Nicholson described the attack from the HMS Gloucester.
Just after dawn, American bombers attacked and destroyed an Iraqi civilian tanker some miles off the Iraqi coast. It's thought to have been used by the Iraqi military as an early warning post, monitoring Allied aircraft as they approached the coast. With their own radar detection systems now bombed out of existence, or certainly out of action, it's thought here that the tankers played a vital role in giving the Iraqis that extra time to scramble their own aircraft and to hide whatever it is they need to hide.
Nicholson also reports a hovercraft sunk in that action. Israel's cabinet has been deciding how to respond to Iraq's Scud missile attacks, the most serious of which hit Tel Aviv yesterday. A Scud eluded U.S. Patriot missiles, injuring nearly 100 people and contributing to 3 heart attack deaths. Bill McLaughlin reports.
This was the first attack since the U.S. deployed Patriot anti-missile batteries to protect Israel from just such a strike. There's more than a little disillusion here about their ability to do the job.
I think everybody's disappointed.
It's important we don't stay home because it lets them achieve their goals.
And also this morning, the Army's chief spokesman, Brigadier General Nachman Shai, took the time out to visit the set of a children's television program. What can we do to keep our parents calm, they wanted to know. Brigadier General Shai told them their roles had been reversed. They could best help their parents by staying calm themselves. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
President Bush has been in touch with Jerusalem over the attack, Randall Pinkston reports.
President Bush made a midnight call to Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir to express outrage at the latest Iraqi Scud missile attack launched against Tel Aviv. White House Press Secretary Marlon Fitzwater said Mr. Bush expressed his sympathy to the Prime Minister over the numerous casualties caused by the attack. Mr. Bush described it as unprovoked aggression and brutal terrorism against innocent civilians. While the president again expressed appreciation for continued Israeli restraint in not retaliating, there's a growing feeling at the White House that Israel's restraint has its limits. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, the White House.
Despite Allied bombing raids aimed at silencing Saddam Hussein's propaganda machine, Baghdad radio and television continue to broadcast. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi is monitoring the latest claims in Amman.
Iraqi radio has claimed that missiles have been fired at the Abqaiq oil field in eastern Saudi Arabia. The radio said the missiles were part of a Scud attack against the kingdom yesterday. An Iraqi military command statement also reported yesterday's missile attack on Tel Aviv. Saddam Hussein has said several times that he would hit Saudi oil fields. The Abqaiq field is part of the giant Hawar oil field, described as the world's biggest. Inside Iraq, gasoline sales have been suspended, apparently after lines hundreds of cars long formed at gas stations whenever there was a lull in Allied bombing raids as people tried to stock up. Iraqi TV has been showing footage of the aftermath of raids, including what the television said was part of a downed cruise missile. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Amman.
Bombs exploded in Istanbul, Turkey this morning at the offices of the American Board, a U.S. missionary group, and a shipping company with U.S. ties, slightly injuring one Turkish woman and causing extensive damage. The attackers left handbills protesting Turkey's involvement in the Gulf War. Speaking to a Navy audience this morning at the Mayport, Florida Naval Station, Vice President Quayle criticized coverage of peace demonstrations.
There have been some demonstrations against our policy in the Gulf and some American flags have been burned. Unfortunately, the media seemed compelled to devote too much more attention to those protests than they deserve.
With the Gulf War about to enter its second week, Congress is taking a sober look now at the conflict it authorized. Rob Armstrong reports.
There is anger and frustration among members of Congress. Anger over the treatment of captured American pilots. Republican Kurt Weldon of Pennsylvania.
I think his attempt to go on his TV and to bring our POWs to the forefront for his political purpose has in fact backfired. And if anything, I think that has strengthened the resolve of this Congress to hold him totally and personally accountable for whatever happens to those young men over in Iraq.
Anger over the continued Iraqi assaults on Israeli population centers and frustration about the slowness with which the Pentagon is producing bomb and battle damage assessments. Armed Services Committee member Patricia Schroeder, Democrat of Colorado.
The joke in the committee is they felt that they were treating us like mushrooms, keeping us in the dark and feeding us fertilizer.
If there is a general consensus up here, it is that the nation is in for a war that will be measured in weeks and maybe months instead of days. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Time on the Roundup now, 7.5 minutes past 7.
It's that special time of year. Time to make an incredible deal on the minivan that's an American favorite. That's Plymouth Voyager, of course. And with rebates, special options packages, and clearance sale prices, there's no time like today to see your Southern California Chrysler Plymouth dealer. Because when you take delivery of any new 1990 Voyager purchase from dealer stock, you'll get $1,000 cash back direct from Chrysler and $500 cash back on new 91 Voyagers from dealer stock. It's your chance to save big with factory rebates that make Voyager as easy to own as it is to drive. There's still more, though. Choose one of the discount options packages available on many Voyagers. You'll knock hundreds of dollars off a bundle of popular convenience features. With up to $1,000 cash back, plus great clearance sale prices, don't miss this chance to save. Buy a Voyager at your Southern California Chrysler Plymouth dealer today and get a low, low price on the vehicle with the highest resale value of all minivans.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
Latvia's president says he's turned down a call by Soviet President Gorbachev to freeze its independence declaration. Speaking in Parliament, Anatolis Garbunovs rejected the call by the Kremlin leader for Latvia to repeal laws which clashed with the Soviet Constitution. There's panic today among Soviet consumers after an official decree last night that ordered them to trade in their old large banknotes and limited them to $800 in withdrawals a month. Anthony Mason has more.
The new law is aimed at fighting the Soviet Union's burgeoning black market. 50 and 100 ruble notes are the main currency of the shadow economy, the prime minister said, vowing to wipe out speculation, corruption, smuggling, and forgery. But by this weekend, many ordinary Soviets could be caught with useless rubles that once represented their life savings. Moscow TV appealed for people not to panic. Panic, it said, never helped anybody. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Moscow.
Two Florida newspapers report that DNA tests may link a new suspect to the murders of five college students in Gainesville last August. The Gainesville Sun says the tests do not implicate Edward Humphrey, who was previously considered a key suspect. Overseas, the dollar is higher on trading markets. London gold is trading more than $2 lower at $377.90 an ounce. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead a fraction at 2603.46. Big board volume, more than 20 million shares.
American military officials say the U.S. has taken six Iraqi prisoners in a skirmish along the Saudi border. A U.S. patrol encountered some Iraqis along the border, exchanged fire. Two American soldiers were slightly hurt. Military officials deny that Iraqi forces have launched a ground attack at the Kuwaiti border. President Bush telephoned Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir at midnight and told him the world recognizes Iraqi missile attacks as nothing short of brutal terrorism against innocent civilians. Three people died and nearly 100 were injured in the attack. And German Chancellor Kohl says his country will send Israel more than $150 million in aid as a show of support and solidarity.
CBS News Update. I'm Randy Riddle. U.S. military officials say they lost only one plane in the past 24 hours, and that was an accident during a training mission. Spokesman in Saudi Arabia indicated reports that a baby formula factory in Baghdad was bombed by accident may be off the mark, because despite the sign out front, the factory may actually have been producing chemical weapons.
We've taken great pains to analyze our targeting. And those targeting do not include civilian facilities. They don't include religious facilities.
U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Mike Scott. The destructive power of the Allied bombing was reflected in an announcement today from Baghdad Radio. It said Iraqi citizens will no longer be able to buy gasoline or heating oil. Two banks were damaged by bomb explosions in Lebanon today. A security guard was killed. The bombings appear to be Gulf-related. One bank is partly owned by the French, the other by the Saudis. Vice President Quayle spoke about the war this morning at the Mayport Naval Station in Florida.
While the length of Operation Desert Storm is unclear, its outcome is certain. Saddam Hussein's forces will leave Kuwait.
House Speaker Thomas Foley says that despite the colossal cost of the war against Iraq, there are no current plans to raise taxes. But there is talk of higher taxes in Germany and Japan. Germany's Chancellor Kohl said today that his country's contributions to the war effort may mean a tax increase there, and Japan's ruling party is reportedly conducting an internal debate over whether to finance Persian Gulf contributions through taxation or borrowing. CBS News Update. I'm Randy Riddle, CBS News, New York.
CBS News Update. I'm Ed Crane. The pounding of Iraq continues from the air while skirmishes are picking up on the ground. The latest war status briefing from the Allied command in Riyadh suggests clear weather has restored the Allied air campaign to full throttle. Lieutenant Colonel Mike Scott says the warplanes made it home safely today, but training accidents have claimed one U.S. life and two military aircraft in the past 24 hours. U.S. Marines exchanged fire with Iraqi forces near the Iraqi-Saudi border. Two Marines said to have been slightly injured, six Iraqi soldiers captured. Despite its inability to stop a Scud missile attack on Tel Aviv, the military says it has plenty of confidence in the anti-missile Patriots.
I have 100% faith in the capability of the Patriot missile system.
The British military says the 12,000 air missions flown by the Allies to date are taking a heavy toll on Iraq. Dan Revive has more from London.
In the words of a British general, the Allied attacks are continuing to devastate Iraq. Major General Alex Harley added that almost all the main Iraqi airfields have been hit, and now that the clouds have lifted, it's possible to see that the attacks in general have been successful. Chemical and nuclear facilities have been hit and are still being hit, he said.
General Harley says the Allied airstrikes have cut Iraq's oil refining capacity in half. Baghdad Radio offered inadvertent confirmation of that, announcing sales of gasoline and heating oil have been halted until further notice. Iraq claims the bombers have knocked out the nation's only infant formula plant, but the Allied military thinks the plant was actually producing biological weapons. The Pentagon confirms Iraqi troops set off those massive oil well fires in Kuwait, as we hear from Juan Vasquez in Saudi Arabia.
The military command today released the first photos from aerial reconnaissance of the burning oil fields in Kuwait. The Pentagon says the fires were set deliberately by the Iraqis and could be the beginning of a scorched earth policy. The first evidence came from a facility at Al Wafra near the Saudi Arabian border. Oil executives in Bahrain say storage tanks were subsequently set ablaze at two installations further north.
The human toll aside, the Gulf War is an expensive proposition. Senator Sam Nunn says it's costing the U.S. about $1 billion a day, with the U.S. hoping Saudi Arabia, Japan, and other nations will make significant contributions to reduce the American tab. CBS News Update. I'm Ed Crane, CBS News, New York.